Let's begin this next report with a question. Why did you want to go back to China after 6 years away?
Things are happening so fast, I wanted to see how people's lives were changing.
That's NPR's Frank Langfitt. He's in our studios. He used to live in China, and he went back recently. He's been telling us this week about three Chinese brothers whose stories tell us about China's changing economy. One's affluent now, one's not. And Frank, what happened to the third?
Well, Steve, the third one didn't make it. You know, his name was Wen Biao, and he depended on the communist cradle-to-grave system. But once that disappeared, he fell between the cracks. So I went back in January to see his wife and find out how things unraveled. Her name is Chen Lihua. She's a warm personality and a sentimental soul. Sitting in her cramped kitchen, she caught me up on their story. I first met the brothers in 2002. The government was knocking down their house as part of a huge redevelopment project. It's part of a broader trend. More and more Chinese families are splitting up and leaving multi-generational homes. But instead of looking forward, as his brothers did, Wen Biao and his wife went backwards. Although the government gave them compensation for their old home, they couldn't afford new housing in Beijing. So they moved to Inner Mongolia, where they'd spent the Cultural Revolution during the 60s and 70s. They bought a big house and lived off the land.
In the outside yard, we planted some things. Cabbage, potatoes, tomatoes.
The Cultural Revolution was a catastrophe that cost at least a million lives. But it was also a time when people were equal, and the couple missed those days. Chen showed me photos of their home in Inner Mongolia during the Cultural Revolution. It was a cave with a front door and windows.
This is the cave dwelling we lived in when we were sent down to the countryside.
Her daughter Gong Tao pipes up. I was born in that cave. When they returned to Inner Mongolia a few years ago, the couple opened a dumpling restaurant. But soon, Wen Biao fell ill. He began losing motor skills.
When he ate, he couldn't use chopsticks or a spoon. Sometimes, if you asked him a question, he'd say, Very simple. He was unable to write.
The couple returned to Beijing. Wen Biao was scraping by on a tiny pension of $28 a month. The state-owned factory where he worked had gone bankrupt years before, and he was left without health care. In April 2003, he had a stroke and was admitted to the hospital. Under communism, his factory would have paid for everything. But in China's new economy, there was no government program to help someone like him.
He stayed half a month. The problem was financial. Afterwards, he left the hospital and died in July.
Chen says without treatment, he just slipped away. She thinks if he'd had insurance, he might have lived.
If we had money, he could have had surgery. Actually, illnesses like this can be remedied.
Chen has her own health problems these days. She worked at the same factory where her husband had. When it went bankrupt, she lost her health care, too. She broke her foot years ago, but she could never afford to have it set. She rolls back her sock to reveal a swollen ankle. The skin is purple, black, and orange.
In these last few years, while my husband was sick, it especially hurt. Still, I had to push him in a wheelchair to see doctors. After he died, I couldn't walk.
Chinese have always relied on family for help, but the country's economic boom has broken up many ancestral homes, and some people have drifted apart. I went to talk to Wen Biao's two brothers. Wen Song, the middle one, has done the best since leaving the old family home. He has a nice apartment in the suburbs and a new BMW. I ask how he and his brothers got along as kids.
When we were young, everything was quite good. We took care of each other. The older took care of the younger.
But later, there were strains. Wen Song succeeded in China's emerging market economy, working as a food wholesaler. He bought the latest and best home appliances. Wen Biao became jealous. He refused to let his son watch Wen Song's new TV. When Wen Biao became ill, Wen Song did not lend him money, but their younger brother Wen Ju did.
I just built a house. I didn't have much money. I gave him about $700.
Wen Biao's widow still owes Wen Ju $500.
Sometimes, he says, you don't have to pay it back. But now, I'm not able to. I feel really embarrassed. We don't really see each other very much. I have nothing to say when I see him.
Chen lived for more than 3 decades under the same roof with her brothers-in-law. After her husband's death, she spent 1 Chinese New Year's with them.
The first year, his little brother called and invited us to come. But after that, he never called again.
One evening, Chen invited me to her 57th birthday party. The guests are all from her side of the family. Chen's family has had struggles of their own, but they remain close, and she depends on them. Chen doesn't own the house where she lives. Her brother has lent it to her. A week later, I meet Chen in the old neighborhood. The house she shared with the 3 Gong brothers had been leveled more than 5 years ago. Where was your old house, I ask. Our old house was in this place, she says. She's standing in the courtyard of an apartment complex, gesturing towards a bicycle shed.
Now, you can't see our house. There is not even a hint it was here. The only thing that's left is that big tree by the street. When I came in, if it weren't for the tree, I wouldn't know I had ever lived here.
She says the new housing is an improvement over the old family home. But she misses the days when several generations lived together. Referring to her brothers-in-law, she sounds wistful.
Wen Song, Wen Ju, there were lots of family members. The living conditions weren't very good, but affection between family members was especially warm.
She says families here, in general, were closer then.
At mealtimes, there was a whole big table of people. Now that style is gone. There aren't many families like that now.
I asked Chen who's responsible for her husband's death. I wonder if she'll blame the Chinese government or her brothers-in-law. But she doesn't. Last year, the government began providing some health insurance to older, unemployed people. Chen's grateful for this. She just wishes her husband had lived long enough to benefit from it. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.
You can hear Frank's previous report about how the other Gong brothers have fared at NPR.org. And tomorrow, Frank will tell us a little bit more about how China's changing economy is changing ours.